Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Ace Michaels Blog Talk Radio Show, available worldwide, 24 hours a day, on iTunes and Facebook. Be inspired, be informed, be on. Enjoy the show.
Talk Radio. Ace Michaels is your afternoon, evening, morning, daytime, you name it time host. I'm happy to be with you on the show each and every day, Monday through Friday, 5 days a week. We are on live on the air. We are the number one show on Facebook, the number one talk show. You can go on Facebook. You can type in Ace Michaels, and it takes you right to our blog talk channel as well as many other groups that we represent. And the show has been listened to at this point, at this juncture, the show has been listened to by over 70,000 people. That's a lot of donuts. If you want to contact the show, if you want to email us, you can. You can always email the show at beonthebuzz@yahoo.com. If you want to call the show and be on the air sometime, you can call the show. Our number is 646-595-4802. What's in the news? We've been talking about Batman versus Superman for way too long. It's been like 2 years this conversation has been going on about this film. But someone sent an email that represented an interesting perspective. Okay. Yeah, it was an interesting perspective that I'd never thought of, and so I wanted to share. This was the deal on Batman v. Superman. The deal was that it was all about jealousy. The emailer says Batman has to be jealous of Superman because Superman is immortal. Superman doesn't feel pain. Superman is unstoppable, whereas Batman is just a regular human, and even though he does have a lot of nifty toys and surprises, at the end of the day, it's kind of like the working man mentality versus the corporate giant. That's one way to look at it. I never really thought that deeply into it, just like I never stick my finger in the dike, but I get it. That's a really good argument. That's a very profound argument. If you were Batman, you'd have to hate Superman, because here you go out every night, you're fighting, you're beating guys to a pulp, and you're wearing your little outfit. But surely the next day after a Batman episode, I'm sure that Bruce Wayne has bruises in places we can only dream of, whereas Superman goes out and does his dirty work, and he doesn't come home with nothing. You know what I'm saying? So that's got to be kind of a pain in the butt if you're Batman. So I thank you for sharing your idea on Batman versus, or your theory, as it were, on Batman versus Superman. I get it. Is that compelling enough for me to buy a $12.50 ticket? I don't know. But, I get it. All right. So on the show today, we have someone who surely knows about movie making. She's an actress. She's a producer. She's a former child star. Yeah. She was a star when she was a child. Go figure. Welcome to the show for the very first time, and probably not the last. We hope it's not going to be the last. Welcome Lori Kay to the show. Lori, are you on the show, baby? Lorissimo. No. When they don't answer to Lorissimo, that's when I know I have a problem. Let's see. I saw we brought her on the air, but we don't hear her. I don't hear her. Hey, Lori. Lori. I don't hear her. Call dropped, it said. Maybe she's going to call right back. I sure hope she does because I want to hear what she's talking about. Yeah, baby. Anyway, so Lori, just to give you a little background information on her, Lori was a child actress who made it somewhat big in the movie business. And then she carried that on into her adult life, which is a hard, hard hustle. I don't know if you guys know much about entertainment, but entertainment is not forgiving. So you either make it or you don't. And a lot of times people might make it. They might land a show, you know, when they're a preteen or something like that. But staying in that game, woo, woo, good Lord have mercy, that's hard. So if you can only imagine, like, some of the people that we know as famous stars trying to make it into, you know, from the 80s to the 90s and the 90s to the 2000s. That's a hard hustle. Lori, welcome back to the show, baby.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you fine. Not only can we hear you, we can feel you.
You're kidding me.
You
know, I can fix any technical issue, bam.
Right. Well, and with that said, I don't know how to follow that up. Welcome
Here
to
I
the
am.
Show, honey. How are you doing?
I feel great, man. I'm juggling a glass of wine, half a cigarette, the green pine, and then Brittany just walked out, and I was dealing with some, you know, I'm not going to say online, but Brittany drama. She'd kill me if she did. So, yeah, and, you know, life is great. I can't complain, but I still will, but I don't have anything to complain about.
Right, exactly. And isn't that multitasking? That's part of doing what you do, because you're an actress, you're a filmmaker, producer, you consult for the entertainment industry. So, I mean, you got to be able to multitask and do everything you do anyway, right?
Well, thanks for pointing that out, because that's the humor of this joke here. I mean, yeah, I had to get ready, you know. Somebody sent me to the ATM. You know, this is Vegas. And then they revoked the request to borrow money, and I thought that was really fucking wild. And so I was already pouring a glass of Pinot Noir because
okay,
it's
sure.
red, and it makes you calms your vocal cords down. And I got a little mint tea over here to the side, and just to hydrate, make sure you get this in Vegas. You need to have water while you're drinking. You need to have all three going, like this tea, the tea
good,
for the meditation,
good.
The enigma. How you doing?
I'm doing great. Yeah, I'm loving it. So now I know a little bit of your background, but not everybody else does. So let's bring everybody up to speed. So tell them who and what and where and why and how long
okay.
and how good was it.
And how long and what was the last one?
How good was it?
Oh, it was really good. Let me just start with the last. It was really damn good. And what happened was it just started when I was a child, and I didn't even know it was happening. And so I just thought every other child had that. Well, I knew when I was in a movie when I was four that I was a star. I was kind of bragging about it a little bit, but I guess any child would. So I stayed humble, and my dad taught me well. And then somewhere around the 30s, after I had been networking my acting career from high school into my 20s, then I took some serious courses. I went to school. So, you know, I went to several schools, and I put myself through them all, like acting and comedy, you know, improv. But the guy at UCLA, he wanted me to be this, you know, classic. He just wanted me to stay who I was. He didn't want me to become a character or anything. So
okay.
I learned all that and stuff, and I applied it in my auditions.
Oh, wow. And so these movies that you were doing when you were a child, I mean, were these famous movies? Are these movies that we know, like The Goonies or something? Or
yes, probably. If you go, actually, I left one big one out because I never verified that I made the cut, but I actually was bumped up from a principal role to a speaking role, and that's an interesting thing. I was sent by an agent. I've only had a few agents I've pretty much marketed and networked myself. But the one agent that I did have at one time, because I've had a few, and yeah, so they sent me to this, and it was a movie, it was a feature film. The ones like my dad produced, like real feature films that you see in the movie theater. I'm not saying that they're not all real. I'm just saying that, you know, a feature film. Okay, so, and so I'm acting on it, and I'm, I think I was in my mid-20s, and I'm just, like, standing around, and they're like, hey, you, kid, come here. And so out of, like, 100 other principal actors that were getting paid $1.49 for the evening, I walk through. I guess they like my evening dress. I was wearing a black lace dress that I bought at Beverly Center, and it was like a mid-knee cut, and it was tight, and it had the spaghetti string. It was, like, a $450 at that time. It was, like, $1,000 today. You know, spaghetti spring, and it sprung too, because obviously, so now they put me in a scene, and so I walk up, and I said, they wanted me to take 4 steps with the tray, as a server, a cocktail server to be exact, and say, cocktails, so I didn't know it was about to come, so I walk up, 4 steps, cocktails, and I look dead in the eye of David Carradine. He's like my dad's friend, he wasn't. Yeah, and so then his wife and I look at the both of them because we were at an award show for my dad's film, The Wizard of Speed and Time, and won the Academy of Science Fiction Award. And I was at that table with them, so I walked up on that scene and I saw him and his wife standing. They were other performers, other actors, in the scene of a film called Crazy Joe. And so I walk up and I say, cocktails, and I made eye contact and go, I bust it up, and the director yelled, Kyle, what's going on here?
And so, even though you were young, you knew who David Carradine was, because he was a big star, star of Kung Fu, several other films, of course, recently the Kill Bill movie series, right? So he was a big star. And so you knew who he was, right?
Yeah, because my dad sort of got him one of his roles, and I don't want to quote which role that was because I'm not really sure at the moment, but I do remember that we went to this Dave Wagenvoort. He was a big owner of radio, and my dad was an actor and a director, and he also was in radio with him. Well, he had a big house in Malibu, and so I grew up with, you've heard of Famous Amos, the cookie guy?
Of course, yeah.
Uh-huh, and I remember sitting out on the ledge over the cliff in Malibu saying, hello, Famous, and he was handing me cookies, and they were luring me away because I don't remember what my dad and mom did, but I do remember riding the Great Dane as this big dog, and I was only 8 years old, and I was able to ride, and I had many friends. All the day's kids were my best friends, so I had 15 friends over there at the mansion, and you'd open the back door. I remember this one time I was by myself, and there was a little bunny. I was chasing the bunny around. And I opened the back door. I didn't even know what to fucking come. Because, you know, it was safe back then. Opened the back door in Malibu on the sand up into the beach. And I go, fuck! I knew I was blessed. No one's even around. They trusted me. I had the whole beach to myself.
Now, you've had other careers as well now. Like, do you find that people don't quite get that you were a movie star, that you worked in the movie business, an established movie actress? Do you get what I'm saying?
That's
like,
really an intelligent, you know, can I tell you, Ace, that's an intelligent, emotional question on your part, and it actually hits home.
Well, do tell, my friend, do tell.
Oh, I don't mind. Thank you very much for asking. I think that I've been so humble, and just like I said, like when I grew up, I was so, like, I thought that everybody, you know, had this. You know, of course, when you grow up and you look back when you're an adult and you look back and you say, oh, wow, I really had an interesting childhood. You know, my mother was a musician, a singer and a piano player, and toured the world and did a soundtrack for an album, and she wrote a song. And that song is called L.A. Gray. And I think they didn't put that song in, but she sang another track or something for a movie soundtrack. She had a 70s band. You know, I mean, I come from when my mom and dad met, my dad was a professional dancer. He taught her how to dance. So that goes deep, and you only feel those things and those memories and those stories as you progress and you become more experienced. And so once now that I am mature and I'm experienced, then I look back, and it's really fun because I look back all day, every day sometimes. It just hits me, and all the memories are just rolling in like the waves. And it was a really fun childhood. Thanks. It was a fun childhood. It was a humble adulthood. It was a party animal. I went out every day in Hollywood and Vegas until I was 38. I still go out. I still have very influential friends. Everybody that I mentioned or mentioned in the future, they're all in my life. It's a part of who I am because I'm single. And so when you're single, people associate with you, with the people that you hang out with, just like when you're married.
Right.
People will associate you with your spouse, right? Kind of. Not always. It depends on how you present yourself.
Sure. And is it harder being single or harder being in a relationship in your career?
I think that everything's hard. But in a good way. And it's life. And things do happen. And everything happens for reasons. And some of them are tragic. And some of them are happy. So since I feel so blessed because I have so many things to be grateful for, my health, my career, my friends, I should have said my family first, shame on me, you know, and I have a good relationship with all of these people, and I stand up for myself. I had to learn how to do that.
Yeah. But you've done very well for yourself, and I think that was a good telling thing when you said you look back. And this is important. So you, when you look back on your life, you're not going to look back in regret. You're going to look back in reminiscence and say, hey, not a bad life for the first time doing it, right? Not bad.
Well, you're absolutely right in two areas, actually, and you're hitting on the emotional and the love level now. Because, yes, let's talk about the first one you hit, the one where you said, look back. Well, there's been a lot of looking back because let's face it, I'm no spring chicken. I may look like I'm 27 forever, but I've been there. And if you look at my resume, you'll see all the jobs I've acted in. And that's not even the producing ones that are on there too. You know, but what about all the other people that I helped? And, like, I never stepped over everybody's head. I only put a pedestal out and let everybody step up along with me.
Sure. And that's kind of how you do it. Wouldn't you agree? Like, if you are mentoring people, then that's all you're going to do is mentor them. You're not looking to overstep them. You don't want to outshine them. You want to help them, like they say, you know, you feed a man, give a man a fish, and you want to teach a man a fish, right? If you're their mentor, you want
right.
to teach them how to help themselves.
Yes, I do want to teach them. It's me. It's about, I think I figured that out too. I think that might have to do with the second point you hit. It was like a realization. And when I realized, and it was only about 5 years ago, and then this wave happened the last 5 years, where it was more like, wow, all those memories. And I even put a blog, 12 things about Lori Kay that you don't know. And it was all about just things I've either acted in, like little theater plays, you know, and maybe stuff about stuff that my mom and dad did, because I'm really proud of that. Like, without them, I don't know if I would have known what to do with all of this.
Hmm. Well, speaking of the 12 things that we might not know about Lori Kay, how about you give us maybe 3 to 5 of them right now? Like, what are, like, the Cliff Notes version of some things we don't know about Lori Kay?
Okay, I think right now I'll just tap on, like, when I was a little kid, I used to run along the ocean and collect starfish.
Oh, wow. For what reason? For any reason? What was the deal?
Yeah, actually, that's a good question. I never thought of it like that. As I was collecting them, that didn't occur to me. But, yeah, there probably was a reason for the bath. I think it was because I felt like they were, like, bonus points.
Were you the captain of the starfish club, perhaps? Was it, you know,
I was rowing. I felt like I was rowing a boat. I've always been the captain, yes. Good question, yes. Thank you. Much love.
Interesting. Okay, so that's one very significant thing we didn't know about Lori Kay. What else do you got for us?
Let's see. I used to ride my bike, like, very freely. It was a dirt bike. I was about 6 or 7.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, because I got off the training wheels. We had this house over by Beverly Hills, and I was on training wheels until I was 3 and a half, and then we moved to the valley, and I got them off by 4, and they put me in school by 4 and a half. And so I was riding this dirt bike maybe by 5.
Okay.
And they let me go, though, because my mom was practicing piano and my dad was off making movies in Hollywood or Rio de Janeiro or France, Cannes film festivals, and you know all that. So I mean, they just let me go, and that just tells you about, like, you know, those old school posts that you see on Facebook, and they say, if you recognize what this is, then you're old.
Right.
Well, if your mom and dad let you run off on a dirt bike and you're female and you're a little girl at 5 and they let you go on your own for a few hours, then you're probably old. But I don't feel old. I'm forever 27.
Yeah, you know, it's funny for people when you think about it. There actually used to be a time when parents used to just let the kids go. You know, like, you woke up, you ate breakfast.
Oh, we went. We went.
Yeah, and they were like, hey, man, get the hell out of this house and don't come back till the sun goes down. We don't want to see you here. You know?
Yeah, and we didn't even come back after the morning after. We used to camp out in the back of a mini truck.
Okay, yeah, I never got to do that. No, I didn't get to do that. I had to have my
own. Oh, then I'm really old. But I met you yesterday in person, and you look really young, and your photography is great, and...
Thank you. I tell you what, the deal was, we could go anywhere we wanted to. We just had to be back before the first street lamps came on. And that was the deal. And I don't know what was the significance of the street lights coming on, but our parents would say, you make sure you are in the house by the time the street lights come on. That's it. You can go wherever you want. Nobody's looking for you.
No, I got to tell you, man, I had a free life. Let me step outside onto the front porch of my house here so I can get some sun while I'm talking to you.
Sure.
Are you still there?
Of course.
Okay, good, because this is another dimension. This is sunlight. And I get it every day. Just even a little bit, even if it's just for a few minutes.
Sure. Now, you said you had a free lifestyle, Lori. Now, do you think that attributed to you being more successful or more outgoing because of the way you grew up?
Yeah, it might have something to do with this. Maybe if that's the third, point you're hitting. Yeah, I think it did, because as I'm remembering all those, you know, visions and memories of everything that I've been through, when my dad produced 2,400 burlesque shows in Las Vegas and I'm standing in the back of the Flamingo showroom, you know, all those visions and those memories of stuff that really happened. And it's like, there's no blog about that, you know what I mean? So that's why I had to write that one post on Facebook, the 12 things you didn't know about Lori Kay. That inspired that was one of the...
And so with your dad producing those burlesque shows, you didn't grow up feeling any kind of, what do you want to say?
Well, he didn't let me watch the show. I didn't get to watch the show. I only got to meet the girls in the back.
Okay. Okay, so you didn't actually.
And my mom used to cover my eyes. Good question. When we went to movies, and then my mom, to her renounce, there'd be something like maybe that a child shouldn't see, or her child, or whatever, and she'd cover my eyes, and it sucked. Like all the good parts. I was a chauffeur child. I didn't know what a strip company was until 30.
That's funny. So you didn't know much, but you knew there was something you were missing.
Well, I found out what there was missing. Like I said, I mean, I was a stripper. You know, I was a worldwide stripper, though. Like, I made it. Like, and then that tied into my career change, where I decided it was getting a little boring, like just the R-rated stuff. Because I used to produce films for my kids, you know?
Yeah.
Talking to who I was in Hollywood, and so I said, I'm going to be a sexy model. I want to be a sexy model. I woke up one morning, and I went out, and I knew they were in town, because they were staying over off of Paradise, like the producers for all of the sexy model stuff.
Yeah.
And so I woke up one morning, and I decided, because the night before it had occurred to me that it was like time, like either time, like get dressed and go, or just dig out. And I thought to myself, you know what? This is my calling. I'm going to, like, get sexy. I want to be sexy. Oh, I always want to be sexy. I just don't want to be, like, regular. It's, like, it's just in me. I don't know. Maybe it's in my blood or something. What do you think, Gabe?
And I'm curious. And so for you, Lori, there was no, gateway drug introduction from being, you know, A to B to C. You just woke up and decided, hey, I want to try sexy modeling. And then, of course, sexy modeling
Maybe. No, no, that's a great, okay, great analogy. And you know what happened there? That's a great analogy. What happened there, you tuned right in. Basically, there was a few years before that, I started publishing my own softcore modeling, solo modeling pics. So basically, it wasn't any activity going on. Yeah, it was just me and lingerie.
Okay.
Yeah, so I had done that before I decided that, okay, but that was like a transgression or a progression. I'm going to make up some words here. And basically, that was, can you hear me? Because the wind is blowing, and if the wind is blowing, I'll
of
go
course,
back in.
Yeah, we can hear you great.
Okay, great. So the progression was, I can see an American flag, by the way, through the houses over here where I'm living in Las Vegas. I have a house here, so I'm on cloud. There's a lot of clouds. The sky is blue. I just basically, I felt it coming, but the one morning that I woke up, yes, that was kind of out of the blue, just so you know. I want to be always real and honest here.
Okay, I lost you there for a second. Hello?
Okay, I'm coming back in because it got too windy. All right. Can you hear me?
Yes, of course.
Great. Oh, my God. Your voice sounds sexy, too, by the way. Just thought I'd let you know.
Oh, wow. Mine does? This is
yeah,
not
when
even,
I met you in
not
person.
Even my, this is not even
when
my
I met
after
you
4
yesterday?
O'clock. Like after 4 o'clock, I do it like a little bit.
Yeah,
you know
I understand. Right? It kind of opens up. I understand. That's why I have the tea to open my voice up.
That's why I meet my me at the me. You know, I do my me exercises to make sure I can be sexy on my radio show.
Me too. And you're very handsome in person, too. Like, seriously.
Oh,
and
wow.
The lady that was over yesterday, she was very gorgeous and beautiful and with a nice personality. I had a great meeting, by the way.
You.
I thought I'd tell you that once more here.
We are living the dream, my friend. We are living the dream.
You know, we truly are, and it's like you totally hit it. Like, I just wish that I had recorded this because I was going to put a live picture of, this is how deep I get into this. I was going to put a live picture of me with my glass of wine, just how I look, just so people, they could bounce off of that and go here. But then someone, you know, this is Vegas. People are, you know, people have, they have demands here.
Mm-hmm.
You agree?
No, I totally agree.
And you have to go. Sometimes you have to go. Like, you have to go because people's emotions are at risk. Like, okay, now I'm doing a reality show. I told you yesterday and I told you before on the phone. We met last week.
Right.
Right, and so when I met you, and so are you, so that's what we have in common. But, you know, my your thing is as real as mine. Like, I'm doing unscripted. Oh, that's the only difference. See, we're both reality producers. I mean, how can we go wrong, you know? Of course we were supposed to meet.
Yeah, that's true. Now,
it's
let me ask you a question,
union.
Though. Before we run out of time, I got a question.
Yes,
you
sir?
Mentioned something that I want to touch on in that, okay, so reality versus the fantasy. Do you think that we've gotten, as a society, do you think we've gotten more engrossed in the fantasy life than the reality, like with all the reality shows and the Instagram and the Snapchat? Do you think we've gotten more engrossed in what's not true versus what's true about our lives?
About our lives or about television?
No, about our lives, about who we are as people. Like, I have a philosophy that people are spending a lot of time fabricating who they want to look like instead of building who they really are.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I didn't want to miss the point. Okay, so you're talking about the person like me, for instance, who's I'm presenting myself as who I am, right?
Right. I think that you are presenting exactly who you are, love it or hate it, you're being real. But there's a lot of people who are afraid to be who they are. They're not being real. They're not being as real as you are. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, thank you for that. Yeah.
So my question is do you think that people have gotten too wrapped up in the story, in the PR that they've created for themselves as opposed to building the reality of who they are?
That's a great question. The only thing I could, like, magnify off of that in a way, because it's, you know, questions are deep, and I don't want to miss anything. So I'm just going to tell you that I'm just going to give you one of the things that came to me, and maybe hopefully it is an example. Sort of like when I get the urge to post online on Facebook, which is usually almost every day, and I want people to see kind of like almost a facet of my life or a segment of my life or a facet, almost like a diamond, like how, you know, how it reflects. Well, like, you know how you look at a woman and she's wearing a necklace and you see one little facet of her thing sparkle at you, and she doesn't know that that thing sparkled, but you do?
Okay.
Yeah, so I feel like that the question kind of was like let me give it to you physically now, like when I'm sitting at my computer or I'm standing at my computer and I'm just giving people what I'm doing. Like, it doesn't matter how ratchet or how beautiful or how, if I got on the photo shoot, and like our photo shoot yesterday, that was last minute. I had an hour to get ready. It was awesome. It was one of the funnest shoots I've ever done. They all are. And you know, it's like just basically when I'm sitting there at the computer and I'm posting, I think that relates to what you're talking about. Like, I wanted to fill in the gaps for people. When I realized that all these things had happened that no one could even knows about, that people need to know about that so they can understand who I am.
I totally get that.
Good. It all connects together. I think it's all connected together.
That is we run out of timer. Now, before we get off the show, please, please, please let people know, how can we follow you? People want to stay in touch with you now. They're going to fall in love with you. They're going to stalk you, but in a nice way. So what?
I love them back.
You know what I mean? What do we need to do to stay in touch with you now, Lily?
Okay. Well, you can reach me right now at Facebook, and it's facebook.com/actresslorik. And I also have a Cindy Star page, and that's SINDISTAR, basically, though. But you could mainly find me on Lori K, because that's more about my life. And I also have a website, actually two, and it's House of Cindy, that's SINDI, that's houseofcindy.com. And then the other one, which they're probably all going to be one, but I'm thinking about maybe two, realitystars.club.
And just real quickly, is Cindy any part of your name in real life, or is it just like a fictional?
I was waiting for you to go there. It was so funny when yesterday I was over at his house and my shoulder was kind of turning, and he goes, you know, I just keep wanting to call you Cindy. I mean, that hit home, because that happens to me all the time, and I knew you were going to bring that out in this interview. So thank you, Ace. You made my day, my week. Definitely, yes. That's why I got two different. I got the Cindy and the Reality Stars. So
I love it. Okay, listen, y'all. It is Lori, a.k.a. Cindy, on the show today. She's a fabulous lady. Make sure you follow what she's doing. Stay abreast of it, because I guarantee you it's always good. And thank you again for being on the show today, Lori. I hope you'll come back and do our show on a regular basis, okay?
Big smiles, and yes, thank you. Have a good evening.
Just me. kiss.